And so he left his homeland and he went about just wandering in this land. And God made him a promise that wherever his foot went, that God was going to give him that land and give his descendants that land. The only problem was is Abraham didn't have any descendants. I know some of you know this, but I'm just reviewing so that we all can be on the same page. He didn't have a son, and so then he tried to make it happen in the way he thought it should happen, and he had a son with a servant woman named Ishmael, and God said, no, you don't understand. I'm going to give you and your wife Sarah a son. This is not the heir. This is not the heir that's going to receive this land. And so Abraham, even in his mess, learned how to believe God. And the Bible says in the New Testament that when he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, meaning he became a righteous man. Even though he had made mistakes and sinned and did wrong, he became a righteous man because he had faith in God and the Word of God. And in their old age, God blesses them with a son and they name him Isaac. Laughter. Like, this is funny. We're old people and we just had a baby. Ha, 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 ha. Right? And he is the son of promise. Now, at this point in the portion of Scripture we're reading, Abraham has died. Sarah has died. They're all gone. And in the area that Abraham had roamed and traveled, he had built wells for his people, for his cattle, so they could drink. Because, you know, if you've never been in that region before, it's pretty dry. It's a dry land. And sometimes the wilderness is almost like a desert. And so he had dug wells so that his people could live, so that he could live, so his livestock could live. He dug these wells. But after his passing, the Philistines, which are the enemy to the family of Abraham, you have to understand that in the context of Scripture. Many times we see throughout Scripture that the Philistines are against Israel. And Israel is the son of Isaac, and Isaac is the son of Abraham. And so we see this generational thing keep reoccurring, coming back. The Philistines don't like these people. They're against these people. The king, their king name was Abimelech. They always called their king Abimelech. And so Abraham had to deal with an Abimelech, and Isaac has to deal with an Abimelech. And then even down the line, David, King David has to deal with an Abimelech. So you understand there's this process and there's this repeating process over and over again. You see that there's an enemy that's always trying to come against God's people. We've been preaching about this, right? Spiritual warfare. And so after Abraham had passed away, Isaac has now inherited everything that Abraham had. Isaac is a person who's still roaming the land, traveling the land, and he's living in the land that God said he would give to his father Abraham, but he doesn't really possess it yet. So he's still roaming around, almost like a vagabond, just moving around, but yet he's very wealthy with all of this, and people began to get jealous of him, and they were jealous of Abraham and all that he had. And so when Abraham died, they went through the wells that Abraham had dug so that when they moved around, they would have water, and they filled them back in so that they weren't available. Now, I want you to understand this for a minute. A resource that those people desperately needed, they were willing to get rid of it because of who it belonged to. They were willing to destroy what they needed because of who was in contact with it. I need you to grasp that. How crazy is that? That would be like someone that's starving and needs a piece of bread, a morsel of bread, but because of the person who's giving it to them, they slap it away and will not receive it. And this is what's happened. Those wells were there. They could have drew water from those wells, but they filled them back in because they didn't want them because they were from Abraham. And now they've come into a season of drought. And nothing's growing. Nothing's flourishing. There's no rain, so there's no water. And Isaac is now the one in charge, and he begins to seek the God of Abraham, his father Abraham. What am I supposed to do here? Should I go to Egypt? Should I leave this land and go to a place that is not in a drought, that's not barren? And God tells him, no, you stay where I've put you. This is interesting because the word that God told Abraham was to go. The word that God tells Isaac is to stay. That's why it's important we don't just try to repeat what the previous generation has done. We have to have a fresh word from God in every generation. And so Isaac finds himself in a land that's in drought, and he's supposed to stay there. And he begins to realize, wait a minute. When my father was here and we needed the water, we needed the source of life, he dug some wells. So I'm going to go back. Everybody said he went back. And I'm going to redig those wells that my father had dug up. But here's the interesting part. The same enemy that was there that gave Abraham a hard time is the same enemy still present in Isaac's day, giving him a hard time. And so he digs these wells, but they create a problem for him while he's digging them. And the Bible says that he digs the first well, and they come and give him an issue, and he names it Esek, or contention. Because he's trying to do what God has told him to do, but he's in a place of contention. And so he moves along and he redigs another well. And they come at him even harsher. And he calls this well Sitna, which means enmity, saying, I have an enemy always before me, trying to stop me from doing what God is telling me to do. You have to understand that he is in a place of struggle. He's in a time of drought. They need water. And every time he tries to do what he's supposed to do, he's getting nothing but a heartache, a headache. And some of them were a little bit lower pain. One person got that joke. Frustration. Anger. And if I'm Isaac, I'm going back to the God of my father Abraham and saying, what's the deal here? You told me to stay. I'm going back and I'm retracing the things that my father has taught me in you to do. These were already wells opened up. And I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, I don't like redoing stuff. This shit can tell you that even when I'm driving, I don't like to backtrack. I get so annoyed if I have to backtrack. Because I've already been here. I got to go here again. I'd have been one of them walking around in the wilderness for 40 years going, how many times am I going to have to look at that bush right there? Drives me crazy. I think, man, we already dug this well. My dad dug this well already. I got to redig it again. And now that I am, here comes those Philistines. Trying to tell me, no, this is my property. You can't have blah, 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 blah. Give me a hard time. So I go and dig another one. And they're still giving me a hard time. Finally, the third one he digs. And God moves and leave him alone. He calls it Rehoboth. Meaning that God has made room for him. God has finally made room for him. You see, when I was praying about this and thinking about this, and God began to stir in my heart to begin to relay this message to you, I was reminded of a word I heard preached by a friend of mine in a different context. It was actually in a marriage retreat thing. And he talked about the removal of the overburden. The overburden. Well, what's the overburden? Well, here's the definition of the overburden. It's a removal and the process of clearing away the top layer of soil, rock, and other materials collectively known as overburden to access valuable mineral deposits and other resources underneath. And God begins to remind me of this passage in Genesis of Isaac redigging the wells of his father Abraham, and then he's putting this thought of the overburden together, and God begins to birth something in me that I want to share with you this morning. That sometimes we live life, and because we have not had upkeep on something or maintained something, the things, the reservoirs, the places in our hearts and our lives that God has prepared for us that have resource, that are valuable to us, they get filled in. Sometimes it was people who had gone before us, and they are the ones that did the work. They prayed and sought God, and God began to move in a group of people, and it was because they had done the work to see the resource, the well spring up within the group of people, and it was accessible to all. But they go away, and sometimes we begin to stray away from things, and we're looking at another place, or maybe it's a time or a season of blessing and rain is coming, and so we don't need the well during the rain season because it's just coming to us. The water is just flowing to us. And then all of a sudden things get dry again, and we remember, oh, well, there was a well here. There was a source that I could receive from in my dryness. The psalmist says it this way, "And my soul thirsts for you, like in a dry and weary land, in a dry and weary place, like a desert place. My soul longs for you and thirsts for you, like a drink of water in a desert area." And what happens is when we go back to those places, we find that the enemy, while we were not paying attention, has created this overburden and filled it in with a bunch of material and things that aren't supposed to be there. So I have an illustration for you this morning. Hopefully I don't make too much of a mess. Pull it out here so you all can see really well. See, the overburden is the junk comes on top, and we got to start removing it.
You can't do that here.
What?
You can't do that here. This is in your property.
Oh. So I can't be here?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I guess I'll just move along. What? I just dug that up. Okay. I'll leave, okay? I'm sorry. Man, people. people on that side are cranky. Just trying to dig up some dirt here. This overburden that's in my way. Just trying to remove some stuff here. I'm just...
My
name's Joe. I'm just trying to dig this up.
I don't care. What are you doing? You can do this here. What? Are you stupid?
They just told me.
Out of your mind? Can you get in your brain? Look at you. What are you doing?
I'm just trying.
Hey, I don't care. I want to say, I don't care. Just leave. I don't want you here. Get out of here.
Okay. Wait. I just... Well, these people on this side ain't any better. Hopefully I can dig here. See, life comes at us sometimes, church. People get contentious with us. They want to fuss with us, fight with us. Truth be told, all we're trying to do is just give them the resource they need. That's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to help them understand that there's this overburden that they're carrying. This weight upon their life that's separating them from what they need. But some people don't want it. That makes it hard for us to do our job. Here Isaac is, he's like, man, I'm just trying to get a resource that we all need. But you guys want to fight with me. You know what he did? He just kept digging. And he just kept digging. People got mad at him. He just kept digging. And finally, God made room for him. Why? Because he just kept digging. He just wouldn't stop digging. He kept digging because he knew the faithfulness of God. He saw the faithfulness of God with his father. Because his father had showed him before that there's water right here. Son, there's water right here. And Isaac just kept digging. He just kept digging. And who knows how heavy the overburden was. We don't know if it was a thin layer that refilled it or if they just piled on and piled on and piled on. But Isaac, he just kept digging. And he just kept digging. And he kept digging. And he kept digging. Even when people said, oh, you're just digging a hole deeper for yourself there, Isaac, you're getting nowhere. He kept digging until God made room for him. And all of a sudden, he hit water in a dry and thirsty land that needed water. He hit water. Because he was willing to just keep digging. Sure, sometimes life is hard. It's difficult. And the only thing we can do is just keep digging. People come and yell at us and mistreat us. They'll hurt us. They'll rip our hearts out. Just keep digging. Why? Because we understand that there's an overburden there. There's an overburden that this world is carrying, and the overburden has to be removed. And we can't get to the source until the overburden is removed. And the only way, church, the only way to remove it is to just keep digging. There's three things you have to understand about the overburden. Check this out. And this is even in mining and everything. If you can go to the next slide for me, please. Three things the overburden does. It blocks us from the resource. It contains contaminants. Didn't we hear that last week from Pastor Darius? Removing the contaminants. And it costs to remove. When you're in a mining project, when you're trying to remove the overburden so you can get to the resource that you need, these three things are at play. These three things are at work, even in the natural world. They know that that overburden is keeping them from getting to what they need to get to. You see, here's the problem. Church, we live in a generation that they think they know how to deal and cope with the overburden. So what they do is, instead of digging it up, they think, well, you know, this is how we need to handle this. So we don't have to remove it. What we need to do is just move it around like this. Oh, but wait a minute, every time I move it around, more overburden just keeps falling in the hole. And we if we keep playing with it, we can get it just right so we won't have to remove it. No, no, no. You have to remove the overburden. It's keeping you from the source and the resources that you need. You can't have it there. It has to be removed. The other reason is this. Not only is it in the way, but you see, there's stuff in the overburden that contaminates the source that we have need of. And so here's the other problem. We think that if we play with it long enough, we can create a hole where we'll eventually get to the water, to the source. But here's the problem. Now the water has been contaminated. It's been manipulated by what was in the overburden. And the true source, the purity of the water, is no longer there. Because the overburden is still there. We have people that are coming to churches across America this morning, and they think that if they can just cope with their overburden, if they can just manipulate it just right, everything will be okay. And they'll even use the word of God to try to manipulate the overburden, but they don't want to remove it out of their lives because there's something that's still comfortable to them about the overburden. And what they don't understand is their life has been contaminated. They think that they've reached water that's going to quench their thirst, but the water has been contaminated. It's not pure because they haven't been willing to remove the overburden out of their lives. It's messed up. And it's not a source of health anymore. It's not a source of goodness anymore. Because they weren't willing to dig. They wanted to shuffle. They wanted to play. Well, let's just go to church Sunday and play around in the dirt. I'm going to say something that's pretty hard. And I need you to know I'm saying it in love. And I'm not saying it toward any person, anyone, or anything. But when we play church, when we just come to church on Sundays and play church, and we think, well, you know, we got to be real with one another. We're going to talk about our sins, what's wrong, but we don't ever actually remove them and let Jesus do a work in us by removing the overburden, then all we're doing is just playing around in the dirt. And what happens when you play in the dirt? You just keep getting dirty. You just keep getting more and more dirty. Well, but we're dealing with it, aren't we? I mean, we talk about it and we stir it all up until the dirt spreads even further and further and further. And now the contaminants are taking more ground. Instead of us being free from the overburden. You know why it is that people don't want to remove the overburden? It's the third reason. Because it costs us something. See, if we just go play around in the dirt, it don't really cost us anything. We get to keep it there. We get to talk about it. Almost treat it like a little pet. Our pet sin. And then we get to throw dirt on other people because of their pet sin. And before we know it, we're not removing overburden. We're just swapping dirt. Just swapping dirt. We mask it in a prayer request. Pray for so-and-so. They got this going on. Oh, really? What's happening? Just throwing dirt around. That's all we're doing, throwing dirt around. It costs us something. Other people are going to give us a hard time. And tell us, no, 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 you can't do that here. Not here. This ain't, that's not your place. Church, just keep digging. Don't you understand that that's not going to do anything for you? You really think that Jesus is going to take care of that for you? You're better off to just kind of learn how to just live with the dirt. Church, just keep digging. Just keep digging. Because you know what happens if you just keep digging? You finally hit water. See, we like to listen to what everybody's opinions are in this generation. We're so full of resources, of information, that we don't know what to do with ourselves if we don't have information on something. And here's also the truth. If I can't just figure it out by asking Google or using AI to make my life easier, if I actually have to work at something, I'm beginning to think, oh, that there must be something wrong with that. You mean I have to actually do something here? I have to actually pick up a shovel, scoop it in the dirt, and dig it up? Well, you see, I've done a lot of research on that. Let me tell you something. There's contaminants in that dirt. So I don't want to touch that. I'm not going to mess with that. Because there's contaminants in that. Yeah, but if you don't remove the contaminants, you can't get to the source you need. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've done some research about that. And I think I'm better off if I just stay away from it and ignore it. Maybe, do you got a rug? Maybe we can just move it under the rug and hide it and not have to worry about it. But you don't understand. Now you're just adding to your overburden and you can't get to the source you actually need. Now some of you are thinking all of a sudden, well, Pastor Joe's preaching works. No, I'm not preaching works. What I'm preaching is it takes work to use your faith in Jesus. And the only way you're going to do it is to work at it. Just keep digging. Yeah, but you don't understand. I keep digging and I keep reaching more dirt. Yeah. Just keep digging. Yeah, but I found out that there's another layer underneath here that I don't even think is my dirt. Just keep digging. Maybe somebody else threw the dirt on you. Just keep digging. Just keep digging. You getting it yet? We got to just keep digging. We don't ever get to the water unless we just keep using our faith. I'm not saying it's all of our works that makes it happen, but I will show you my faith by my works. Well, I prayed for that person and they weren't healed. Then I'm going to pray again. And then God's going to show me something that I need to understand in that prayer. And then I'm going to pray again. And there's going to be another level, another layer that's uncovered. And I'm going to pray again. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. My finances are a mess. Well, I'm just going to keep giving. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. You just keep giving. I know a pastor that gave his way out of debt. That doesn't make sense. Oh, yes, it does. In God's kingdom. You see, because our problem is we think we're living in the kingdom of the Philistines. What we've forgotten is God has given us this land. This is the kingdom of heaven that we're on. Isaac understood something. That although they were saying this is their land, he knew it wasn't, because God had promised it to his father. So you can keep saying, I have no right to dig here. But what you don't understand is God has given me the right to dig here. So I'm going to keep on digging. And I'm going to keep on digging. And I'm going to keep on digging. And yes, it will cost me something. It will cost me labor. It will cost me heartache. I will have people who will come at me thinking I'm crazy. But I will stand on the word of God in faith. And I will just keep digging. I will keep giving. I will keep praying. I will keep proclaiming the word of God. I will keep declaring the word of God over my life. Why? Because it works. And eventually, I'm going to crack through the overburden, and I will break through and see a flood of water come forth, come gushing out. Here's the deal, church. Some of us have been carrying around an overburden. We're saved. We love God. But we've allowed the enemy to come throw dirt on us and fill us in. And when John tells us that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water by the Holy Spirit, we've allowed ourselves to believe the lies of the enemy, and he has contaminated it and built a dam in our life to hold back what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And what God is calling us to do this morning is to grab our spiritual shovels and just start digging. Because we've been there before, because we've seen the presence of God flow before, because we've seen the power of God manifest himself before, we know where the well is. But some of us have said, but I've already dug that once before. I'm tired. I just don't know if I want to dig again. The Holy Spirit came by this morning to tell you, just keep digging. Don't quit. Just keep digging. But you don't understand. My heart's broken because the very person that I'm believing that God is going to save, the very person that needs this resource, the reason I'm digging is the one that's rejecting it. It's the one that's telling me to stop digging. It's the one that's breaking my heart. And God says this, yeah, but while you were still yet sinners, I sent my son to die for you, to become the well that you need. It's not about what they're saying. It's not about what they're doing. It's not about how they're reacting. It's about, church, are you willing to put your shovel in and dig? Are you willing? It's going to cost us something. Going to cost us something. You're going to sweat. I'm sweating this morning. Now, that's not unusual when I preach, but We got a pool a few weeks ago, and I was trying to level out the ground before we put it up. And we started digging. We found all kinds of stuff when we started digging. But it was my backyard. I mean, I think I would know what's in my backyard. Found all kinds of stuff when I started digging. It was work. We were tired. Once I removed the overburden, I had to haul it off somewhere and use the shovel to shove it off the trailer, and was tired. I was grumpy because it was hot. But I knew I could never enjoy the source of water that we were getting ready to put there until I first dug it up. We have to remove the overburden in our lives. Let me have that next passage of Scripture there. I'm going to read two more passages of Scripture in closing. Genesis 26, 23 through 25. This is after he had dug the wells. It says, "From there he went up to Beersheba, which means the well of the oath. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent, and there Isaac's servants dug a well." The well of the oath. What is the oath? "I'll be with you, just like I was with your father." Church in 2025, Lighthouse in 2025, I'll be there with you, just like I was with them in the early 40s when they started in a one-room schoolhouse having church here on this property. I'll be with you. All we got to do is keep going back to the same well. We may use different equipment nowadays. We may use different ways of sharing the gospel than they did. But it's the same gospel, and it's the same well. And it's the oath that God has given us, that I'll be with you too. And from generation to generation to generation, He'll be with us. But here's the thing. We got to be willing to pick up our shovel and use our faith in Jesus and keep digging. And if people come by and throw dirt on us, keep dumping our bucket out. Keep telling us, "Oh, no, you can't do that. Being mean to us." Now listen, just so you guys know, if you haven't figured it out yet, I told Lincoln and Daniel to treat me bad this morning. I thought they were too nice about it, but they did the best they could. So don't be like, "Hey, you guys shouldn't have treated Pastor that way." I told him to do that. But I know that all of you know that every one of you has faced somebody who wants to give you a hard time because you profess the name of Jesus. And isn't it interesting, it's those people that need the source of water the most. Enemy will come in and use whoever he's going to use. And every generation has to face it. Abraham had an Abimelech in the Philistines. Isaac had an Abimelech in the Philistines. Even David had an Abimelech in the Philistines. But here's the news of hope. Jesus had the same enemy, but he overcame. And this is what the last verse says. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's the last word that God has for us. It may be work. It'll cost us something. But we have to get rid of the overburden if we want to draw water from the wells of salvation. And here's the thing, church. When we draw it, we'll be drawing it with joy. With joy. Just come up here, darling. Take a shovel full and throw it in a bucket. We've been digging again. Almost 20 years now. And we're going to keep digging. Because that's all we know to do. Every time an overburden tries to come on us again, just get our shovels out and keep digging. As the pastors of this church, it's all we know to do. Just keep digging. But I want to ask you, are you willing to just keep digging? And for some of you, you won't need to do this. It's fine. But some of you, you may need to do this. I got two more shovels over there. Can you go grab them? Sometimes we just need to do something physically to enact our faith. Show God, yeah, no, this is what I'm doing. So I'm going to open this altar. If you're dealing with overburden in your life, the presence of God is here right now to remove those things from your life so that you can reach the water and with joy draw from the wells of salvation. Because God wants you to have a breakthrough and refresh you today. What does water do? It refreshes you. And how do you get to the water? Well, you have to have a breakthrough of the overburden. And so some of you need to come up here and grab a shovel and just put a shovel full of dirt in the bucket and saying, I'm going to keep digging. I'm just going to keep digging. Maybe you just need to come up and pray. Just come up and pray. But God is moving in this midst right now. If you run out of dirt, dump it back out again for the next person. But let's just come before the Lord right now. Let's let Him do a work in our life so that we can have a breakthrough and receive refreshment. Because the times of refreshing come from the presence of God.